we need more content for casuals? Yoshi be thinking about making the game a bit less stress-free, in his words.
Yeah, there's definitely a need for mid-core content. There's nothing, no like tutorial for anything else that would prepare you for extremes or Unreal and definitely Savage. Nothing. The expert roulettes, I just have a hard time calling them experts because you can get by just pressing one button. I wish that those dungeons would be way more challenging. You'd have mechanics you'd truly have to respect.
What do you think about gearing?
Why? What's the holdup? Like, let people gear up. Let people do what they want to do. So, and I do think that Tombstone's cap should definitely be unlocked. The Alliance raid that comes out after the tier, it should just drop Savage equivalent. Listen, if you've ever watched week one raiders, anyone that you think is just an amazing raider, we struggle. Everyone messes up. Get over that fear. Begin to ask yourself questions. Why did you mess up? New pool, new you. It was a lot of burnout that happened. I think that just kind of got to me. And of course, I'm just going through the motions because I didn't want to let people down.
Yep.
If you ever start to feel like maybe I'm playing too much 14, then you need to take time for yourself, whether it's off stream playing a game just for you that's not 14, or just some time away. Maybe it's not video games at all, but there's got to be some kind of balance there.
You know, welcome back to the weekly podcast. This is Unplugged, and very special guest today, probably the number one Final Fantasy 14 raid coach. I can say that because I'm a sprout in this game. And you know, when I came to this game, you were probably the biggest help in terms of learning how to get better at the game. Mm-hmm. But I'll turn it over to you, Llama. Like, why don't you introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. I'm Llama Todd. Yeah, I've done tons of Final Fantasy 14 raid content. I am taking a break, though. I'll be back for Dawn Trail. So, like, there's lots of awesome games out there I've just been dying to play. So, we got FF7 Rebirth that's out, and I'm loving that. But it's going to take up a lot of time. There's so much to do in that. And plus, we got a couple of other ones I've been eyeing.
For sure. and we'll get into that, you know.
Oh, we will. Yeah, but I know that there's a new Ultimate Eden, an Eden Ultimate coming out, and I've already got some friends that want me to come play. I'm like, all right, I'm down. Let's go.
Amazing.
Got a raid.
And one of the biggest... So the first thing I'll say is that when I first came to 14, and I will always remember you are actually one of the first few content creators in 14 to reach out and just to say hello and just to let us sprouts know that you are here for us. And I just want to say thank you because I've never done that formally. And I always remember you until this very day. And I think the community kind of sees you as a real support pillar, you know, for us new sprouts back then. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of had a reputation. I would, you know, because I was usually interested to see who's joining our community, like as like the Final Fantasy 14 community. And I was always interested in people who have a raiding background were coming in, and I'd like to hang out in their stream to see what they were about. And I'd wait for that moment when they're done with the MSQ. I'm like, Prague, you want to raid? So that kind of became a joke. I'd always just ask people, like, oh, there's Llama. He's going to ask him to Prague or raid or something. I'm like, hey, I like the MSQ. I just want to watch. I'm just here to chill. Don't worry about that. But if you do want to raid,
hit me up. Yeah.
You know, only if you want to. But many people would. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's a great segue, though. Like, because think that I don't say this lightly because I've seen a lot of your streams and I lurk on pretty much like most of your streams as well. Like, because back then I was just trying to learn how to raid. And I just see you going through this thing where it's almost as though you're just coaching people at how to raid and you're making calls on, you know, on your stream and whatnot. And it was just fascinating to see. And I think that's really unique because there are content creators out there in Twitch, in the 14 directory that kind of do raids, but they don't come from an educational kind of lens. And I want to pick your brains on that because as the number one kind of coach in this space of 14, like, what motivates you? Like, what drives you to kind of just help people like that?
Well, I don't know if you can call me number one right now. There's so many people have stepped up, but I'm delighted to see that. There's been amazing folks out there that have been, like, there's like an Ultimate project. So there's people doing all the stuff that I'm not. And so I just want to give them all a shout out, like all the PF helpers out there. But I definitely did do my time helping folks. And I think it was unique. At the height of it, because you know, like you're saying, we did have people on Twitch that would go into like Party Finder and help out, but I think it was more unique in terms of how I did it, because I would actually bring people into Discord and not just like some randoms in a PF where like I'm just there to help, and if we get a clear, great, and then it might disband. But I could spend several lockouts, even several days, with individuals, helping them get better, like over time. It's like all right, like what do you, and I'd have this process of teaching them like mechanics. Then if I see them start getting comfortable, I start removing callouts, and eventually I could just do like the first portion or first half of the fight or for a couple of phases without any callouts, or maybe just a little reminder if I see them out of place. And hopefully they would improve to the point where they could go into Party Finder on their own. That was my goal. I didn't want people to just get a clear for me and then go off into Party Finder with that clear and then not know what the heck they're doing. I wanted them to be confident to either like just join clear groups or even in turn help others, which I've seen actually a lot of people in my community turned around and became a helper or even like a raid leader. And in fact, at FanFest, I've had several people that just people from years ago, from my very early helping days in like Stormblood, say that like they are leading a world first team, or they're
wow.
They're like these.
That's a huge.
I mean, well, much better than where I'm at. I'm like, that's awesome. And they're like, well, you got me my start, Llama, because you helped me in a Delta Scape or Alpha Scape or something. I'm like, oh wow, that's flattering. So I loved hearing all the stories from people at FanFest coming up to me.
Yeah, I think that's the crazy part, because it probably took maybe 2 days, 3 days of your time, and you set them on this path to also help others, which is, if you think about the impact you have mm-hmm. made in the past like few years, that's kind of insane. And I think you're not giving yourself a lot of credit by just being so humble, but just saying as a Sprout, like your content was really great. And since you've helped many people get clears, and you've taught them, you know, how to be independent in terms of like joining PF, leading their own static, mm-hmm. what advice would you give like for people out there who haven't started raiding, but they're curious about raiding in 14, like, and you've helped so many, right? So what kind of advice would you give someone that's starting out? Where do we start?
That's a great question. It's one I get a lot. And I think the biggest deterrent for people getting into raids is a fear of failure, a fear of wiping, and they don't want to be the bad guy. They don't want to be the problem. And they don't want to let people down. I'm like, well, I try to remind them. I'm like, listen, if you've ever watched week one raiders, anyone that you think is just an amazing raider, we struggle. Everyone struggles. Everyone wipes. Everyone messes up. We don't just go in there and one shot everything. Like it's a process. I'm like, you just have to get over that fear of messing up and begin to ask yourself questions like, well, why did you mess up? Do you know the answer to that question? And if not, then you either ask your raid leader, and if it's at a coaching party with me, definitely ask me. But if you do know how you messed up, and it's like, all right, just get over it. New pool, new you. And I try to impress that upon people. I'm like, forget about it. If you know why you messed up, we'll just keep moving on. It's all right. That's really just it. Just getting over that initial fear of letting people down.
And I feel like you're creating such a supportive environment where you tell them like, okay, new pool, new you. And I think a lot of people struggle to get to the point where they find that conducive environment or the static that they enjoy playing with. How do new players go about finding like that fit, you know, the right static for them?
A couple of things. I'd say first, set your expectations. What kind of group do you want? Do you think you're ready for like world prog or week one? Or like, are you going to go pretty hard with raiding, or are you going to do casual? And you need to find people like that are going to be on the same page as you. Because if you have a mixed group where you have people that are like trying really hard, and then you have some people that are just like there for fun, you're going to definitely have some resentment and people just butting heads, and it's probably not going to be a good time. Someone's going to lash out. So make sure that you're finding the right group for you and what you want. and your play style, and then just go from there. Like, it for me, I mean, I started off, I didn't do like week one until past maybe couple of tiers. Like I was more or less casual to maybe at most mid core for several tiers. And I did coaching like after I got my clear, it was like weeks and weeks later. I was like week eight sometimes. And in fact, it was actually Omega, Final Omega. That was the first tier I cleared on content. And so it's just, I'd say take your time with it and just, again, set expectations. And then if you, where you find people, well, I know that there's a subreddit for Final Fantasy for recruitment. I would search there. There's a couple of Discords. I think you could probably find most of them through the Balance Discord. That's probably the most popular one. You could, if you can't find it on there, at least you'll find other Discords through that. And then social media, and then maybe even Twitch communities. So you have different avenues to find groups. Otherwise, if you don't do any of those, find people in game that you're raiding with, like just randoms. And if you got along with them, you add them to a cross world link shell. And it's like, you know what? That guy was pretty cool. And you keep adding people like that over time, and you might have a partial static of just some friends in game.
That's good advice. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier that it's only in recent times you kind of started challenging yourself to do week one kind of clears. Tell us, like, how's that transition like going from, I guess in your words, like more mid-core, going to something like week one, you know, clears? Like, how's that mentality different? And how's it like? Yeah.
Well, I think before it's just, I didn't have the time. I was working a full-time job. So just the time commitment alone was not feasible, because for week one, you have to take off that whole week. And that's why many groups fall apart if they don't clear week one, because they're out of their paid time off. And they're like, well, that's all I had. So like, if we don't clear in this week, then that's it.
I got to put bread on the table, you know?
People got to go back to work or back to school or whatever it is. For a while, it was just, I just didn't have the time for it. And I thought it was cool. And then when I kind of when I made the decision to become a full-time content creator, and I was like, okay, well, now it makes more sense for me to try for week one and really go for it. And you do have to commit. It's like, it's 12 to 16 hours a day until you clear.
Oof, intense.
For Savage. And it's with a few breaks in between, and you're up in the morning and you go until the evening, and you got your snacks, your trail mix or prog stew or chili or whatever it is you prepared for the week. Right. you're going to be a little gremlin in your room for a while.
You mentioned the transition to being a full-time streamer. Let's kind of talk a bit about that. Cause I think, 14 as a game, like when you first started playing it, did you ever fathom that, you know, you would be a full-time streamer just based off this game? And actually, I know you've been doing some variety stuff. We'll talk about that, mm-hmm. but like how,
sure.
talk to me about that. Like, that feeling of being a full-time content creator starting from the 14 directory.
It was a hobby. It was just something I wanted to try. I would just do a few hours a night. Not every night, just like when I'd play. It was basically only when I did the coaching parties, when I streamed a little bit. I didn't even have a camera at the time. And people responded to that pretty well. And eventually I gained like a small reputation, I'd say, and it kind of word got around that I was like a good guy and party finder. And I ended up making some friends that wanted me in an ultimate prog group. It's actually called the Fickle Pickles. It was the group that I was with, Xenosis Vex actually, and my buddy Zesh and Galaxy and Fenra and those guys. And that was his second group, I think. Another prog party, but it was still on content doing tea. And I think from there, I still owe a lot of thanks to Zeno here, but it definitely helped put me in the spot a little bit, just being in Zeno's stream and in his group. And people started to tune into me a little bit more after that fact. And I was like, okay, let's go check out what Llama's doing. If he's doing like some Party Finder stuff, like, okay, great. I'll join his group. And it, I think it really took off from there. Absolutely. And it was at that point, when I started to see an uptick, where I was like, you know what, maybe I can turn this into full time. Because right before that T prog was, I actually just lost my job, and it was right at the start of COVID. So everything was just kind of shut down. So I was out of work, and you couldn't really do anything for work. And I was studying to like get some certifications, and then streaming, because I was like, well, this is all I got right now. Like, I'll try to make some money on Twitch, whatever, while I'm preparing for this stuff. And then this started to like increase in popularity. I'm like, okay, well, what if I really apply myself to content creation on Twitch? I had to talk to the missus, you know, she's the boss. And
yep, I understand.
she was very supportive. She's like, all right, well, like, let's try this for 6 months and see how it goes. And if not, then we'll kind of go back to our first plan. But fortunately, it had definitely worked out. And
great,
I think,
story.
This was perfect timing for Final Fantasy 14, because during COVID, it was popping off.
I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And I asked Arthur the same thing, because you folks are veterans of 14. And did you ever foresee this game exploding in the way it could be, like in that summer, just insane? But how does it feel as a veteran?
It was amazing. It was the perfect storm. And letting people probably describe it that way. It was the perfect storm of events, because typically during that time in a patch cycle, it's like between like the last raid tier after the last raid tier, and then another expansion coming up. This like dead space. That's when people they might be doing like, you know, log runs, or they're not playing the game. They're doing other things. They're just waiting for the next expansions. But we had something special, because we had the WoW exodus right at that time. So now we had this influx of all these other players, and we had Asmongold, and when he kind of green lighted it, or like all these other people were like, oh, hey, well, if Asmon's checking it out, maybe I'll check it out. And then, you know, WoW was maybe not in the best state then, so it was amazing. And yeah, I made a lot of friends, a lot of the WoW content creators. I actually met a lot of them at BlizzCon. So I went to several conventions this year. I went to FanFest, two FanFests and BlizzCon. And I got to meet a ton of folks, and some of them that I got to either, I've raided with, did coaching parties with, or collabs with, or I just at least spoke with, you know, between like Final Fantasy and WoW. So it was really cool to meet them.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Like, so, yeah, you know, you're probably one of the most wholesome people at the directory. Like, I'm sure meeting your fans meeting you in person, that's a great experience for you. And, you know, during COVID, we didn't have any of these physical meetups. How's that like for you, going back to, you know, physical events like that?
Well, since I like barely leave my house, it was something I had to like prepare myself for socially. But I can, you know, even though I'm like pretty introverted, I know when to be present and more extroverted and just like engaged and stuff. And you're kind of still on as you are as a streamer. Like when you're streaming, when you're at one of these conventions, you're not there to really relax. Like you're just, that's you. It's like, you're still presenting yourself as a streamer. Like, but I don't really have a persona. Like I'm pretty much like the same, like as you meet me in real life, that's just how I am on stream too. Maybe I talk a little bit like lower or something. Cause you know, you have to project though, right? You have to enunciate and project. But it was so cool meeting different people. And, like I said before, just all the different stories from folks, from the past couple of years, where they're like, you know, you helped me, and they tell me which fight, and then they tell me what they're doing now. And some of them had, like little gifts for me. Like someone made like some custom stickers of like a little like guy in a llama suit, like with the ninja, doing like the ninja sign and stuff. Cool. Yeah, they wouldn't let me know who their name was. Like, I was like, who are you? I want to thank you. They're like, nope, no. And they just left. I'm like, what? No picture. They didn't want anything. They just wanted to hand me that. And I was like, oh, and I just really taken aback at all the kindness and just, it's all the love. It was pretty emotional, man. I even had this was wild, but I had like an impromptu line form.
Amazing.
On the second day, because there was like this Twitch streamer meetup thing at one of the days. It was in the lobby, so if you didn't have a ticket to get in, you could still meet the streamers in the lobby, which is open to the public. Which
a great idea.
And I went there because I wanted to meet like Whoops and Draconis and a few others, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh hey, and I'm just kind of standing next to them, and then all of a sudden,
right? How did the light form for you? So you're just talking to people, and then like a light form.
I was talking to Whoops, who had, of course, a big line, right? And then to my left, it was someone lined up to see me, and then it just started going from there. And it was, and then I was like, oh, and I was there for a few hours, and I didn't get to go inside the convention that day. Not complaining. Like I actually didn't do hardly anything at the convention other than just talk to people. I didn't do any of the things that they had set up, like if like for like any doing of the trials or the little games and stuff that they had. I maybe did one thing, but other than that, it was just talking to people and meeting everyone and staying hydrated because I was doing a lot of talking.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
it's a great story.
It was so cool.
Also testament to the impact you made on this community. Speaking about, you know, the impact of on the game and whatnot, like, you know, we're looking forward to Dawn Trail, right? I think that's what a lot of content creators are talking about. What are your hopes for the expansion? Because I think there's a lot of discussion in recent weeks about, do we need more content for casuals? You know, Yoshi P thinking about making the game a bit less stress-free, in his words. But yeah, like, I saw the video you put out, great video, by the way, but, you know, on YouTube.
Yeah.
And by the way, for people who haven't checked out your YouTube channel, they really should, lots of gems there. But yeah, kind of talk to me about that. Like, how do you feel as a veteran?
Oh, I'm working on that YouTube, but, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm actually working on a big video. It's my wish list for Dawn Trail.
Amazing.
I'm taking a break from that right now, just so we can have this talk, but, yeah, there's definitely a need for mid-core content. I agree 100% there. I think kind of going back to one of our other the question you had about how to get into raiding, I think another answer to that would be to have mid-core content as like a stepping stone to go from the normal content to Savage. Now, we have extremes, we have Unreals, but I think we need more of them, and I think we need different degrees of difficulty surrounding that segment of trials and raids. I always thought that a Mythic Plus type dungeon system would be amazing for Final Fantasy 14, where it would start off normal and then progress all the way through, like, you know, eventually you get to like extreme level and then maybe savage level. So people could learn over time, like maybe how to improve. I also think, and this is what I talked about in my last video, it was just like, I was just spitballing. I'm like, well, if Yoshi P says, and maybe he didn't mean it this way, which I've been told, but how to make things stressful or how to make it harder. I'm like, okay, well, let's just think of ideas. What would make the game harder or more challenging? And I think that one of the biggest things in the game is that you don't really get taught your whole kit, your role, and using all of your cooldowns, defensive cooldowns. It's just kind of left up in the air. We have a Hall of the Novice very early on in the game that people probably skip over, but there's nothing, no like tutorial for anything else that would prepare you for things like extremes or Unreal and definitely Savage. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So I think with story content, like dungeons and trials and raids, or not raids, since it's optional, but I think they could work in stuff where it would challenge people a bit more. It doesn't have to be super difficult. Like, it doesn't have to be savage level, extreme level, nothing like that. But I do feel like it should at least test your knowledge of, do you know your rotation or an AoE rotation? Do you know how to do a tank swap? Do you know how to provoke and shirk or use Asuna and rescue? And like all these things that you see people just not ever use, or sometimes it's not even on their hotbar.
Yeah.
So I think just having content that challenges people enough to learn their job might give them the confidence to do harder content. And then if you have a progression system like a Mythic Plus dungeon system, then maybe it'll encourage people to go and test themselves even more.
That's a great point, because I remember playing this game, and you're right, I was a novice, and then fast forward, and that's really early on. And I feel like, you know, as you go into later expansions, you get new abilities and whatnot, like, you know, that was kind of irrelevant an experience as a tutorial. And the only way you kind of learn how to play your job right was really external resources, like you go to YouTube or you get guides, and it's quite
nothing
puzzling
in the game.
Yeah, it's quite puzzling that we have to rely on a Discord, like the balance to kind of learn your job. And I do think that there needs to be a way to ease
people don't know.
Yeah.
And especially from a lot of people that came from WoW, they had to learn what like a buff window or 2 minute window was, or an opener. Cause I mean, heck, even in WoW, you would just, you know, you'd pop your trinkets and potions or whatever, then you just start going. Like you just hit whatever you need to. But in 14, it's like you kind of have a more of a rigid structure and like what you need to hit at the start of the fight, and then every 2 minutes, and then like your big reopener later on in the fights. It's, and some people, they don't even know that. They're like, what's an opener? Like, oh, well, you pretty much hit all of your buttons in this tiny window, and then you do it again every 2 minutes or so. And people don't know that. You're not taught that. There's nothing in the game that says, oh, well, here's your opener. We kind of have something, the stone sky sea, where it is a time attack. It's like, well, if you can't destroy this target dummy in a certain amount of time, then you've failed. But it doesn't really do anything other than just, well, give you something to hit, but it doesn't teach you like how to hit your buttons. And so there's no guide for like rotation or anything.
You mentioned, you know, something like a scaling kind of content or something like a Mythic Plus. Like, we'd love to get your thoughts. Like, Varian Criterion Dungeons, like I guess there are levels of difficulty there, but, you know, what do you think of the system? Like, does that thing have legs, and what would you change?
I would definitely like to see that expanded upon. I think people don't do it enough because the rewards are bad. So maybe just incentivize it a bit more. And I think for some people, the whole savage version of it is just awful, because it's basically, you're almost progging an ultimate at that point. Cause it's, if you wipe, you got to go back to the start, and there's no reses. You can't really recover. So, I mean, it is challenging. It is fun, but there's really no need to do it again and like kind of punish yourself.
Right.
I think just better rewards and more of those dungeons, and maybe different levels of difficulty, and maybe like add some flair to it. They kind of have some cool options where it's like, oh, you can have these special abilities. Well, maybe they can have, like, I don't know, different gear that could be applied only in that dungeon, or like with set bonuses or trinkets. I don't think trinkets would work in 14, but it'd be kind of cool to use something where it's like, oh, well, let me try this. And I also think that making like the expert roulettes, I just have a hard time calling them experts, because you can get by just pressing one button, or honestly just following someone. And often there's people that are just doing the heavy lifting for the group, because someone's just not pulling their weight. I wish that those dungeons would be way more challenging. You'd have mechanics you truly have to respect, because you're never in danger. There's very few, if any, like one hit KO
right.
mechanics, right? Or you have to use a knockback, or there's a few instances where you have to use Asuna, but the groups I've gone in with, they'll just let you fall over dead,
right?
Because they're not using Asuna. So maybe I think what I like about WoW and some of the harder dungeons is you have to, or maybe at least in the past, where you had to CC or use crowd control yeah. on mobs and stuff. And we have this, the way things work in 14 with those dungeons is people just trying to plow through. They do a wall to wall pull, use all your defensive cooldowns. Unless the tank just doesn't use any cooldowns, right. then the healer's using all of theirs. And then kill the boss with like no cooldowns
right.
because they're easy. And then you just repeat that process. So maybe you do something how Variant does it, where the trash is actually very challenging. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Like give you something to worry about. Like, ooh, I can't take these. I can't just like pull all of this stuff. We'll just, right. They'll murder us and we'll annihilate us. And then give the bosses some sharper teeth, right? So like the tank busters actually threaten to kill the tank,
right?
Because the tank busters in a dungeon, an expert dungeon, they do they're laughable.
Yeah,
you don't even have to use reprisal. You barely have to use any mitigation. You might have to use your personal, maybe if your healer's asleep.
I'm actually I would 100% on board with you, like about the harder content and dungeon stuff. I feel like it does teach people to kind of like you said, respect mechanics, use your toolkit a bit better.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously I had this conversation with a lot of people before, and one of the biggest, I guess, counter argument is that, hey, but a lot of these dungeons, they're tied to the story. So what do you think the solve is? Do we need more optional dungeons? Like, what do you think about that?
Well, we used to have the hard mode dungeons. So maybe if you really want to make people happy, just keep the story dungeons the same and then have an optional hard mode. But if were up to me, I would just put it in the story mode dungeons. Just right. I think people need to respect mechanics a little bit more. It doesn't have to be harder. Like they're not going to like fail outright, but they'll think twice about standing in an AOE or not pressing a defensive cooldown because it's something that they should do.
But that's interesting that you mentioned that.
That could be, for some people, that's asking too much. I've dealt with people. There's some of these toxic casuals where you see them not pressing buttons and you know that it's wrong and you're in that dungeon. You're just like,
and
should I say something?
Yeah, that feeling because people would just say, well, you don't pay my sub, you know, like that's always the go-to.
They say that, and or they just say no thanks, and then like, okay, all right.
I tried.
Because it's worked for them once. They don't have to change. It's the way they play. I'm like, all right.
That's a very interesting point you brought up, because I think like it's the parallel to what Yoshi P was saying in his recent interview, right? Like a side-scrolling game, if you don't have things to punish you, like for example, falling through the ground into a hole, then it also takes away fun in some sense, because there's no stakes. There's no, like you said, there's no right. one-shot mechanic. Yeah, so I can totally see like the rationale behind that. That makes a lot of sense. I kind of want to pick your brains on something else that's also, you know, been talked a lot about for Dawn Trail, like what I think raiders and whatnot are also hoping that could be revisited. And that's like the two-minute buff window. Like a lot has been spoken about the homogenization of like jobs.
Yeah.
You know, give us some historical context. Like in the past, is there like, you know, very distinct kind of play styles, roles, you know, DPS profiles for jobs? And how do you feel about this whole like trying to standardize every single job thing?
Well, I mean, I guess I've always enjoyed the 2-minute meta because I main ninja, so it got me into groups. But yeah, there's always been jobs where it was like, well, they bring damage. They don't really bring utility. So it would, maybe it was a deciding factor of like how many you bring. Like maybe you can't bring a bunch of samurais. You'd have to bring a ninja. You have to bring a dancer or a red mage or something. And you'd have to like stack all these certain buffs. Or maybe it might be the case where you don't bring a white mage and you bring an astro. You get like your divination, you get your cards. And that was, I guess that was more for optimization and log runs and stuff. But I guess sometimes if the fight was like really tough, it might be the reason why someone gets dropped from a group, or at least they'd have to be able to learn multiple jobs within their role, which is something I had to do. Cause like even like at times Ninja was just like trash. So I had to like learn Monk or something just in case.
Right.
Just in case. Yeah. I didn't want to, trust me. I did not want to learn Monk, but, there were times where, the highest damage Ninja would be about the same level as like a mid-range Monk,
right?
Like kind of half-assing it. So it's like, oh my god, like please fix this.
That's that's a good point. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot has been said about like job balancing, and right. You know, I think the hope is hopefully in Dontre we'll see something that is a bit more, I guess, you know, lack of a better word, balanced. But I also kind of want to pick your brains on something related to that. Earlier you mentioned, sure. You know, from a gearing perspective, like potentially like, you know, something, not saying that they should do tier sets, but something, you know, fun like that could be interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think about gearing? You know, a lot of people talked about like the Tombstone caps and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of opinions about gearing. I asked Yoshi P at FanFest about the, well, I asked him, We set it up so Zeno could ask him one question, Arthas could ask another, and then I followed up with another. So like we were like, all right, we talked about it. Like, all right, we'll ask these things about gearing. And it was like, I forget who asked. I think maybe Zeno asked about the Tombstone thing, but I asked about unlocking the raid tier sooner because it takes them 8 or 9 months to unlock a raid tier. It just got unlocked.
Yeah.
The last raid, which has been out for, about 8 months. Just got unlocked. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, why? What's the holdup? Like, let people gear up. Let people do what they want to do, and gear up multiple jobs, so they can go back into Party Finder and help folks. Like, you shouldn't have that loot restriction for that long, because it's terrible when, especially like from my perspective, when you want to go in and help folks, and it's like, well, we're gonna remove loot.
Yep. Just because you're helping,
yeah. Because I've cleared for the week, and I'm going back in on this character, and I've run out of alts. And in a game like Final Fantasy, where they encourage you to play on one character because you can play all the jobs, right. It's like, well, why do I have to make another alt?
Right.
It's like, well, it's because of the loot restrictions, and they don't unlock the tier sooner. So, and I do think the Tombstone cap should definitely be unlocked. And I think... Personally, I think it should be minimum 3 months.
Yeah.
Maximum 3 months after the raid tier comes out. I honestly think it should be like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe 8 weeks. Just because by then I think all the top groups have cleared and have it on farm, and even some of the mid-core groups have cleared. So it's like at that point, like just let people let people have fun with it. Like just unlock it. Like who cares? And then the other point is that if there's an ultimate coming up and it's still restricted, and
you got to
depending on the depending on the job system, you're going to be locked to one job because you can't gear up another one fast enough, especially one that has a ton of gear that you have to buy with Tombstones, because it's going to be weeks before you're able to purchase everything for two jobs.
Right.
Definitely not three. And upgrade and get the upgrade items for them.
Yeah.
It's Tombstone and you have to upgrade them. It's not just this is best inside. It's a two part system there.
Oh, I think those are great points about like letting people play how they want to play.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I think the irony here is that maybe some of the systems that were originally in play was really kind of meant to ensure like, you know, people don't get too fast ahead of the content, and like, I don't know, like, well, I feel like part of it is like pacing people, but I see your point. Yeah.
But I also think we should have a few more ways to get Savage eye level gear, right? I've always felt that the Alliance raid that comes out after the tier, that should be the same. It should just drop Savage equivalent. Because you can only get one piece anyway, right? And it would encourage people to run it more instead of just for the coin.
Right.
Now you can get a Savage piece and a coin. I'm like, well, shoot, let me do that, because it's just glamour. It's really just glamour that you're getting. I think the Criterion gear, there should be Criterion gear.
Yeah.
And I actually love the vault system in WoW. I think if you want to encourage people to do different content in the game, where they like PvP or crafting or raiding, give them a vault system. And it's like, all right, well, do these things. You can get some of these pieces over here. And if you do some of the harder content, then you'll get equivalent gear for your efforts.
Right. And lots of great suggestions. And, you know, you've been a veteran, you've seen lots of expansion launch. I'm going to put you on the spot here, which is, what do you, like, do you think realistically, like, there will be changes come Dawn Trail about the things we spoke, be it gearing, job balancing, you know? Yeah. What's your thoughts?
If anything, there's definitely going to be some, I don't know, well, they're going to be doing some job balancing, but it might not be what we want, but because, you know, it's going to be a new level cap, so it has to happen anyway, and we'll probably have the media tour soon, so we'll get to find out what the jobs are going to be about. But we were told very politely no for, like, the things like Tombstone and unlocking the raid tier, so I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think they'd ever have Savage eye level gear in anything else other than Savage and upgraded Tombstones.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking about changes though, you know, we'd love to kind of talk about, you know, you've been exploring variety gaming and, you know, I've been looking at your streams and whatnot.
Thanks.
And you know, tell me about that. Like, you know, how did you get into, you know, playing other games other than 14? And I know for the longest time you only played 14. I don't know how you do it, by the way, because I feel like, I always see you playing 14. Like, what made you kind of want to try to do different things?
Oh, man. I think it was just a lot of things that kind of got me to that decision. It was a lot of burnout that happened. And it was a tough expansion raid-wise. We had some pretty difficult tiers and two ultimates that followed each one, and both were the two hardest ultimates you'll have in the game, right? And the top prog would just, it just went on and on and on, and we kept losing people,
right?
And it kept delaying prog, and it's just like dragging more and more, and I think that just kind of got to me. And of course, since I had a health scare before, I finished top, or actually before I even started progging it, I kind of reassessed like my decision to commit that much time into both streaming and raiding, because I was doing some insane hours
for you. Yeah.
Very unhealthy hours. The doctor said it wasn't like, that was really my fault or anything. Right. It wasn't anything I was doing. It was just like this fluke situation. But I don't think it helped. But so I reduced my hours, and I wanted to do things that would make me happier.
Mm.
And for a time, and I'm sure there's plenty of streamers now in the 14 directory that just, they love 14. And that's all they're going to do. And I applaud them, and I please keep helping people like do that. But if you ever start to feel like maybe I'm playing too much 14, then you need to take time for yourself.
Yeah.
Whether it's off stream playing a game just for you, that's not 14, or just some time away. Maybe it's not video games at all, but it's gotta be some kind of balance there.
Mm.
Just for your own physical and mental state.
Right. And you've done it to great success. Like, you know, I remember seeing Asmongo reacting to a clip of your, you know, your WoW Classic stuff. And, you know, I'm really happy for you, honestly. Because I also sense the way you are on stream, like your vibes are different, and it comes through in the stream, and you seem, you know, pretty much more well-rounded, your spirits are better.
It does.
Yeah, tell us more about, you know.
Sure. No, yeah. I knew it was like reflecting on my streams, my Final Fantasy 14 streams. I knew, I was very aware. I'm like, man, I'm not I'm not putting on a good show. Like, I'm not, like, my audience knows that I'm miserable. Like, I'm just going through the motions because I didn't want to let people down.
Yeah.
I had several prog groups. I was helping some folks, a couple of collabs that I didn't want to leave, but I had to make the hard decision. I'm like, guys, like, I'm unhappy. Yeah. Like, I got to step down, and I got to quit all my groups. Mm. I thought I could keep one group, but at that point I was like, no, I can't do it. Can we play something else? And fortunately it was, one of my friends, actually, Potastic P Genie.
Yeah.
She's super sweet. So we play Baldur's Gate, almost once a week. We play Baldur's Gate 3 once a week, just about. And now we're playing like a few other games, but I was helping her through the raid tier, and I felt super bad for, like, I was like, I feel so bad for, like, leaving the group, or I don't want to leave you hanging. It's like, well, let's just play something else. I'm like, yes. Okay, cool.
And you mentioned that, like, it's a mixture of things. And I just want to say, for the record, I think, you know, obviously I had a near-death incident as well, and it's a traffic incident, but it also taught me that, yeah, you got to prioritize yourself. And life is kind of short, you know? And there was definitely parts of me where I felt like, yeah, I gotta live up to what the community expects of me, maybe to keep playing 14 every single day,
right,
and day out. And you eventually realize that, look, my personal happiness is the most important, and you are absolutely right. I think people could sense when you are not on your top form on stream, when you're not happy. And I think it's just for the betterment of the community as well to have you know, back in top shape for Dawn Trail, take the break you need. And I think the majority of people will understand that. So
that's exactly right. And I mean, it is scary as a content creator when you're like a one game Andy, and you've played that and you've had all your success in that one game. And you're like, well, maybe I'll just not do that. So there's definitely been some challenges going from one game to variety. But I think it's, while challenging, I think it's necessary, and I think it's a great way to grow as a streamer.
Yeah.
And because of that, I did find myself in a situation where I got to play hardcore WoW in OnlyFangs, and it was actually through Jay the Bard, who I had helped do raid prog with. So it's, again, like, through my connections and how helpful I've been in 14, it's because of that, it opened up opportunities elsewhere. And so he's like, we got to get Llama in. And now I've made friends. I've kept up with several of the folks in OnlyFangs to this day, even though that has stopped. Sadly, I hate that it stopped, but I think it was time well spent.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that, you were rubbing shoulders with, you know, the biggest WoW content creators.
And I was felt, like, so out of place.
I was happy. No, I was really happy for you, dude. Like, I think you deserve, like, that kind of recognition. And tell us more about that. Like, you know, playing WoW hardcore, something like that's so punishing. And obviously, I saw the clips where, you know, like, Asmongold reacted and whatnot. But
yeah.
And for people who haven't checked that out, they should. I think it's an entertaining piece. But yeah, how's that like, playing something so punishing? Was that like a breath of fresh air for you? Yeah, walk us through that.
It was because, I'll bring it up again. It's just, I actually played a lot of WoW before Final Fantasy 14 and before even FF11. I was a WoW Andy for many years. I played from Burning Crusade through probably Legion,
right?
Whereas like off and on, but I was pretty sweaty raider Burning Crusade through probably Cataclysm or so,
right?
And just kind of sort of tail off after that. So like, I had the whole classic experience in my back pocket. And doing that hardcore, like the way it was, I'm like, oh man, this takes me back. But then I'm like, oh, I'll just play priest again, because that's like my bread and butter. And then I'm like, oh wait, priest around level 10 or 12, like, we don't have nothing we have no survival tools until later on, like nothing to get us out of danger. So so I actually had I had two deaths early on, because I just it was like, you get one extra enemy and you're like, well, I'll just fall over dead now. And then the other one, I think, was avoidable. We shouldn't have been in that dungeon. We shouldn't have been in Zul'Farak. I thought maybe our the group, they were just very confident that they could. Yeah. I'm like, well, I've kind of healed while being under level. Like, as a healer, I can be kind of under leveled if the group is good. But early on, there was just aggro problems. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, just the trash. Maybe we shouldn't do this boss pull. But then we did, and then someone aggro. We didn't fully clear the area, so like some extra adds came in.
Yeah,
and then it was chaos, and unfortunately, I stood my ground, and I was like, well, I'm the healer. I'm not going to let anyone die, and.
Yeah,
I try to keep. I did a good job. I got some clutch heals off, but if you know as a priest, if you're the last one out, you have no sprint. You got nothing. Yeah. And since couldn't use any more potions or anything, I was kind of screwed. So I just died.
For, yeah,
but I did have a very epic comeback to make it to 60.
Oh, I saw that
in time for the Molten Core raid. Yeah. I did a lot of gaming. It was. Up until like the hardcore guild, like I wasn't really putting in big hours or long hours, but during that time, I was definitely doing 10, 12-hour streams.
Yeah, I saw your streams, dude. I opened Twitch every day. I see you streaming. I was like, oh my God, this guy is going hard at it.
I'm like, I got a level. I got to do this. We have a quota. We have a level quota to meet. I got to get in there. And I made it though. I made the cut.
Right.
Good thing. Good thing too.
And you know that experience, you know, playing WoW and whatnot. How does it factor into your future plans? Because obviously you started doing variety, and we talked about FF7 a little. How are you thinking about the future?
Well, I mean, I'm interested in the War Within. I do like the idea of having like a series, like a cohesive story. I think maybe WoW has struggled with that with their different expansions, like. Maybe they tell a good story within one expansion, but it's kind of not really connected to the others, more or less. I'm probably angering some lore annies right now.
No, I think everyone agrees Shadowlands was utter garbage in terms of lore.
Okay, but if you have multiple expansions lined up to kind of follow the same story, maybe that could be really a really cool experience. And I having attended BlizzCon, I was actually pretty excited for a lot of the quality of life improvements they're going to be adding to the game. So I would definitely want to check that out. And for a while I was enjoying Season of Discovery too. It's kind of, I had to put it on the back burner because Final Fantasy VII came out.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Phase 2 Sod. I did have a guild though. And we were running raids and stuff weekly, and it was cool.
Right.
I'm interested to see more of Sod too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would like to explore that.
Yeah, fair enough.
And yeah, the whole like Asmund thing, that was wild when he got when he reacted, because he actually knew my name. He's a really good memory, by the way. Like he recalled like I came from like I hung out in his chat. And he's like, oh, that's Llama. I'm like, how does he know me? And I remember one time. I'll never forget this, but. I was just hanging out in his chat. It was sometime after I had my stroke, and he saw me in chat, and I was just like, oh, hey, man, how you doing? And he was like, oh, hey, Llama, what's up? And he knew that my situation. He was just asking how I was.
Wow,
and
amazing.
he's like, how you doing, man? Like, I read about that. It really sucks. And I was like, oh, man. And it's like, well, geez, thanks for even noticing that. I'm doing better. Like, I'm out of the hospital, it's fine. He's like, oh, that's a relief, man. I'm glad to hear it. And I thought that was really kind of
that's amazing. That's a cool story.
It is.
But I feel like a part of that is also the way you are. Like, you're just genuine, honestly. You know, I think as a content creator, sometimes you also, you know, you come across a lot of people as a content creator. There are people who you know, they kind of want to get close to you because like they have an agenda. But you know, honestly, from day one, like I could feel like you genuinely hung out in people's chat because you just want to know people. And that's what's so special about you, honestly. And I think people respond to that. And in his case, he did.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to like not kind of give that impression to some streamers. It's like, well, why are they here? Do they want something? Like, am I just a stepping stone? Do they want to use my platform? Do they want to use my clout? And I totally get that. But like, if you see me in your channel, it's like, it's probably because I just enjoy your content. I just want to just hang out and vibe. And most of the time I really don't want the shout out. Like, please don't shout me. I'm just here, man. Like, I'm just, please. It's okay. Like, don't do that. Like, I'm just a viewer, man. But if you want to raid, just kidding. Nah, not so much lately, but yeah, I value making friendships and genuine like connections, like you're saying, with other streamers. And that way it feels less like, oh, well, they just want to collab because of viewership or whatever. It's like, no, I just want to play video games with someone. Like I enjoy spending time with them and gaming together.
And I think that's one of the things I noticed about the 14 community as well. You know, Arthas and I had this debate, which is, I think 14, and I think we both agreed that 14 is the best directory to start as a streamer. Because think there's almost an element of people being accepting of you trying new things. Like, they also get that, you know, as a streamer in 14, there's only so much you can do on stream every day, other than checking people's adventurous plates. There's only so many plates you can see, you know, and make content out of. So there's almost like a acceptance that, you know, you will eventually branch off and do variety. Like you said, Final Fantasy VII, good example. Lots of 14 creators are playing that right now. How was it like for your community? Like, did they support your move? And yeah, if you can talk more about that.
I'd say I have a pretty good core community that has stuck around. But there are those, and I had a tweet because just kind of lamenting this, but I was like, oh, there's definitely a lot of people that stop watching and just stop coming to the stream. And while, I mean, that's sad and I expected it, it just still kind of hurt. I'm like, damn, like, all right. Well, I guess they just really love Final Fantasy 14 and not so much like hanging out and stuff, but like, I get it. Like that's their right. That's what they want to do. And that's the kind of content they want to watch. So, I mean, there are games that I probably wouldn't care to watch. I'm like, oh, but I also, try my best to support my friends that are streaming other games, especially when I know that they've only done really one game. If I see them playing something else, like I'm in there, I'm like, hey man, yeah, you want to do Elden Ring now? Let's go. And I try to ask about that and stuff, but that's definitely been a challenge.
Yeah.
Numbers wise, but I think I've held my own.
Yeah. And this is something that I have a lot of thoughts about this because, as someone who used to only do WoW content and then having to kind of swap really because, well, the game is not doing well. Number one, number two, I was just miserable playing the game. It is scary. But the thing about being, especially for you know, if all your eggs is in one basket in a game,
right?
You like imagine that's your source of income of feeding the family, and your future and livelihood.
Scary,
it's tied to the health of a game, which is all it takes is maybe the company in Blizzard's case or Shadowlands.
What if the games? Exactly. What if we have a Shadowlands? What if Dontro? I mean, I hope Dontro's good, but like
likewise.
It might have a weak opening just because it's going to be a new story. We've wrapped up Shadowbringers and Endwalker. And it's like, well, is it going to be as strong? It's going to be kind of like, I mean, people like A Realm Reborn, but people don't say, oh, A Realm Reborn was my favorite. They say Shadowbringers is my favorite. Yep. They say Heavensward is my favorite. So what does this mean for Dontrail? Like, it's going to be story building. It's going to be character building. And so I don't know how, I don't know how that's going to play out. So I'm glad that I'm at least getting my community used to variety. And I want to continue that even when there's new content for 14. Like I want to hit the content for 14, but then I want to go back and make time for the new games that come out that look interesting to me that I want to play that I never gave myself time to play because I was in an MMORPG.
Yeah. And and I do think that this approach of doing more things is more sustainable to go, honestly.
There is. I probably, if someone is trying to branch out into variety, I would also look at what you play because if you want to alienate a lot of your core audience, it's changing, not only just changing games, but the type of game you play. So if you're the genre, if you go from MMO high fantasy into high-tech first-person shooter or strategy game or something that doesn't really fit the mold, it's you're definitely going to lose way more people than you would if you went from Final Fantasy MMO to maybe like an Elden Ring or a Monster Hunter, because there's some overlap between those games, or even like the Game Maker, like going from Final Fantasy 14 to Remake and Rebirth, that makes a lot of sense because people love Final Fantasy and they'll have like crossovers and stuff, and they'll have bosses from the different Final Fantasies in 14. So you don't lose too many people there.
Right.
But definitely the farther away you get from your first game or your only game, the more people you lose. So just think about the games you're going to try out.
Yeah. And I said that I think it's a more sustainable way to grow. And yes, you do take a hit in the short run, but I think the audience that you grow going forward, they're here for you. I think they're here for Llama, like the person. And
yes. Yeah. And I really enjoy that. And I'm going through a lot of changes, man. It's crazy. So I have never had a big YouTube at all. So I'm going from a one game Twitch only streamer to now a variety on Twitch to making a lot more YouTube content. I mean, for me, I've been doing my own editing, so I've been doing
amazing
practicing with shorts, and I've had some pretty good for me. I feel like I've had some pretty good success with in terms of views on the shorts that I've had. Like I had one of them for FF7 that had almost 10,000 views, and that's like cool. For me, with only I only have 1,000 subscribers, I'm like, oh shoot, I had more views than subscribers. So I'm like
making waves.
Yeah, and now I'm trying to do some long form videos, and I had to tell my community and even my wife, I'm like, this is probably going to suck for a while, but I have to take nights off of streaming and work on YouTube.
You're really
I
need to investing grow for the future. Yeah,
I'm investing for the future. And my dream is if I could be monetized on YouTube and make the bulk of my money there, Twitch would be secondary. Yep. Then I wouldn't have to feel the pressure and the stress of
turning on the God, camera, right?
Am I going to make enough subs or bits tonight? Should I stream longer if I get a big raid? Like, I just want to make good content for Twitch.
Yeah.
And then I could take all that content and then make more content on YouTube.
100%.
And then I'll be in a better disposition.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be stressed. So I'm kind of not faking it, but I'm being very mindful of that while doing Twitch content. I'm like, well, let's not stress about the numbers now and just have fun with it. Because if I'm worrying and anxious on stream, I'm going to have a harder time making good content about that on YouTube. So let's just go have fun.
And I don't know if you've seen this video from Ludwig. He's one of the biggest, you know, YouTube creators and whatnot.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And he talked about how, you know, you should kind of double dip, right? Your stream going into YouTube. And I think you're onto something right here. And I've also seen, you know, your YouTube content like popping out my feed. And I think there's something right.
That's
about
good.
I've seen your thumbnails evolve.
Oh, it's coming in your feed.
Yeah, I've seen your thumbnails evolve. Like, oh, you know, you have more of the reaction faces. And like, that's great because that's a good sign. And, All I'll say is that I think investing in the future makes absolute sense right now, given that it's like kind of a lull before dawn trail, right? Because the moment that thing starts, you'll be busy on stream, but now's the perfect
time.
Sure.
Yeah. I would like to be able to make guides, like Party Finder guides, not so much week one guides, but
I think people love that. Really?
Maybe 4 weeks after like the tier comes out and we've settled on a Party Finder strat, I'm like, well, let's make a really good Party Finder guide for people to follow. Since like, I mean, I think I have a pretty good narration voice, and
you do.
If I have the nice visuals and stuff, then it would make sense. Like, well, let's do a Llama guide. And then people in Party Finder can bitch about doing a Llama strat or something. I'm like, or not. It wouldn't be my strat necessarily, but they'd be like, you're using the Llama guide. And then, or of course, some people would be happy about it. I don't know. But either way, I would like to make some content and use all this time to just kind of practice and get better at editing. So by the time Doctor rolls around,
I totally see that working. The llama guide thing has legs because you've already made a name for yourself in like helping, you know, people transit into raiding. That to me is like the most natural thing. And
I think so.
And one of the things that when I started doing 14 content was I kind of researched like, okay, who's big on YouTube and whatnot. And one of the crazy stats I came across is that Miss Tech, she runs, you know, a YouTube channel around like, you know, educational content.
Oh yeah.
And dude, like there will be no uploads and she will get consistent views. And that is basically, in other words, like for you, that could be a way to alleviate like the financial stress because you could be sleeping and you're not streaming and you're going on holidays. And-
absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's the other thing about YouTube. It's like, well, once you put videos out there, I mean, you'll still get views on them for months and months and months. And sometimes like they'll dig up something old and be like, oh, hey, I watched this. And like, you're in it. I'm like, oh, because I'll get people coming to my stream that watched someone else's video and I was in it, or they said something like, oh, if you want to learn how to raid, you talk to Llama, right? And I still get people like that. I'm like, well, shoot, what if I had my own stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the people that do the best in Final Fantasy Directory have a big YouTube presence where they can have that extra freedom of playing other games that they want without feeling like they have to play Final Fantasy 14 all the time. But if they do, then that's fine. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. And you know,
it's so important.
You look at someone like Zenos and Arthur, it's like, you look at their YouTube channel, it's pretty much personality driven these days.
Like,
Arthur's had a thumbnail and it's like the tree incident or something, or is it Zenos? I can't remember. But anyway, like it could be a totally irrelevant thing to 14 and, you know, it still gets views. And I think you're onto something here about investing for YouTube in the future, you know?
I've met those guys and they're fantastic, man. Like Arthur's is a bro. I got to hang out with him a couple times at FanFest. I wish he lived closer, man, because we'd hang out a lot more. And Zeno too, man. Like meeting them in person and then just being able to hang out like away from the crowds was very special to me. Especially in London, we were all at the same hotel. I'm just doing everything together. And yeah, I've learned a lot from them. I haven't really been a React Andy so much, but I've been testing that. Of course, my last video, which was a reaction, I actually planned for a stream to do a reaction to something.
Yep.
And then in my mind, I'm like, well, let's just make sure I say things so it's easy for me to edit.
Yeah, you're onto that now. And I think
and it helped out so much.
I think like the thing, okay, so when I first started like doing React content and usually it's like the trailers and whatnot, I also felt like this is a bit strange because I feel like the effort to reward ratio doesn't make like it's too good to be true for React content. Mm-hmm. But then I've also come to also learn and understand that 14 as a community, the people who watch content in the 14 directory, they crave reaction content, honestly.
Oh, sure.
And maybe in part of that is also, you know, the game doesn't have a lot of things going on, you know, like...
Well, downtime right now, there's definitely like a need for like drama posts or just reaction, or it might even not be game related. It just could be like other stuff we're reacting to. But if there's drama and stuff happening in the game, then yeah, we're gonna pounce on that. Whether it's like a Twitter post or there's something was said in a Party Finder, or I mean the latest thing with like with Zeno, who's like talking about this one guy in the community. For the past couple of weeks. I'm like, damn, he's getting a lot of mileage.
Yeah. I think four videos now. I'm like
another video. Like, what's going on here? But I watch it. I'm like, oh,
it's self-sustaining, damn, okay. Man. Like,
yeah, like I can't believe it.
and yeah, so I feel like I actually felt that, you know, initially when I did reaction, I was like, I was very puzzled by why does this thing work? And I eventually realized that yeah, 14 as a community, they're vocal. They like to hear opinions, and if that's what the people want, you know, give it to them. And I would totally kind of tune into like, and it's crazy because I've been on the road a fair bit, like I've been traveling a bit. And one of the things that I always download is like just random creators' reactions. Like Arthur's will be ranting about some totally random shit And it would be entertaining. It's like a
podcast style almost. Like, but like they're just kind of spitballing themselves. Like they're just like basically a radio show you're listening to. And I've done that, like taking road trips, or I just listen to like, oh, this thing's gonna be 3 hours. Great, I'll just have that on and I'll just listen while I drive. And I've done that plenty of times. And in the past I've never really given myself time to react, because I was like, I've always devoted, okay, help people with clears, and that's all I did, which is, all right, next group, next person. And so it felt really foreign to me to even pause to react. It felt unnatural. But now that I've pumped the brakes and done more variety, where I kind of have time to breathe and just think for myself, I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, let's watch a video. Let's watch a trailer. Let's watch this and talk about it. And I'm working on the YouTube, but I do have now two reactions. I had the trailer, the Dawn Trail trailer reaction, and then just this one yesterday. So I would like to do more of those. And it's interesting, because like people definitely responded to the Final Fantasy Dawn Trail trailer. They wanted to see what I had to say. Yeah, I was surprised. Sure. I'm like, no one's gonna watch this.
Dude, you are the bigger one, the biggest creators. What do you mean nobody wants to hear your take?
Well, I didn't think they would, because I'm like, I don't do React stuff, man. Like they're not gonna want to watch this, but they actually do. I'm like,
you're
shortchanging
yourself, dude. Like honestly, I would love to get your thoughts on the trailer, like especially on day one when everyone's hyped and talking about it, dude.
Oh yeah,
if you had a video, I will click on it so fast, really. And I'm just really happy that you're kind of trying that now, because I feel like you've unlocked another level as a content creator, you know.
Wish I had done this so much. I knew I had to do YouTube. I think it was a combination of like things were going so well on Twitch,
fair enough,
that I felt like I didn't need to, and they were. Because Final Fantasy was like super popular, and like financially it was like insane.
Yeah,
because the numbers were like pumped up like super crazy during that time. I'm like, well, hell, I mean, this is fine. I don't need the YouTube if this keeps up. But now it's just kind of, I feel like it's kind of leveled off a bit more. If like, even if I had stuck around playing 14, like maybe it wouldn't be as challenging, but I think it's definitely dropped off since like the whole COVID restrictions. Oh, sure. Like the country is like kind of open up, and people, I mean, even Twitch has published their numbers saying, well,
it's down
year to year. Here's everything. It's kind of this downward trend since like 2020, 2021. It's like kind of dropping off. And so people aren't tuning in as much. You don't have as many viewers coming like overall on the site. So you do, as a content creator, you have to work a lot harder. And unfortunately, I've seen some people they've had to either quit or take up other jobs. And it's because I think we had a ton of folks during that time. They were like, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. It's like, well, shoot, content creation. It seems like a good thing to try during COVID.
Hey, it worked out for you, man. So,
but I know, but in hindsight, I wish I would have given myself time to work on YouTube. That's, and any new streamer, please just get that under your belt. Learn those skills.
Yeah, fair
Make
enough.
Make some content.
And I think it's interesting that you say that, because it was a crazy time in the 14 directory. It really was. And I think I was a beneficiary of that as well, like switching games into 14. But you also learned like on hindsight, and Arthur's gave me this warning. I remember like we had dinner when I first started playing 14, and he said, hey, dude, like, I'm just telling you, the moment you finish MSQs, dude, like, things are going to plummet and you need to figure out, like, what to do.
I didn't
listen to him.
That is so many of, like, the WoW creators that came over and were just, like, maybe not, they're not from WoW necessarily, but a lot of them that came over during Shadowbringers and Endwalker, and they did MSQ, that I've gotten to know. They've all said the same thing to me, and you're either just on stream or on Twitter or whatever. But when they finish a certain part of the MSQ, or like the main, like the ending of an expansion or something, or especially if it was, whether it was Shadowbringers at the time or Endwalker at the time, the viewers, they go somewhere else, and maybe they got their initial success from all the people watching them do MSQ and for the reactions. and some of them even got partner because of that. But then now it's like, oh, well, what do I do? What do I do after MSQ? Like, what do you become? You have like a couple of different routes. Like, are you become a raider?
Yep.
Are you going to do reaction? Are you going to be like this casual, like kind of do everything? And it's hard. Cause if you based everything on just your reactions to MSQ, it's like,
yep.
Well, I hope you set yourself up for some sort of like other community within 14. Cause like, you're going to need it. And it's sad, but you really have no control over the viewers. And I've been guilty of that too. I'm like, oh, they're at this part. I want to tune in. Right. But I would also, I mean, I don't want to like toot my own horn, but I think that I might've helped a few of those streamers that did finish MSQ by getting them into
raiding, right?
Savage. Yeah. I'm like, well, hey, now that you've finished, why don't you come raid with me? It'll be easier. Cause I'll teach you. And then your community will like that. Cause it's like, oh, I want to see if they can raid.
Yeah.
Let's watch. I mean, so, and maybe that unlocks like some more content for them to do on their own time without me. It's like, well, I've done Savage. I can keep progging.
That's cool. So, you know, I think they not only benefited from like raiding advice from you, but I think like, you know, having that streamer lens about what should you do after MSQ, there was valuable advice. And by the way, I learned the hard way because, obviously, I think by content kind of, like, I was definitely struggling a bit with like, okay, after MSQs, what the hell do I do? And it's strange because like it takes you off guard because you see your content doing well and you don't really think about, you don't think about like suddenly the
you
the
don't. Dip, you don't hard. At all.
And I think at the
point, you're like, where did people go? It sucks, man. I feel for people. I'm like, damn. And it's, but you're going to get those kinds of viewers, like they're kind of MSQ vultures.
Yeah. Emotional vampires.
Nothing against them, man. Nothing against them, but they,
like you said, you are. Yeah. I do the same.
We love to see the emotional parts of the game. They're like, well, I want to see how they can react.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think that's why starting in 14 directory is probably like one of the easiest directories to start in because MSQs is a huge draw.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge then is like it's this easiness is balanced by the difficulty of finding what's next. And it's almost as though you have that window during the MSQs to kind of win over people with your personality or whatever extra, you know, X factor you have. And that's probably like the path forward. But yeah, it's great to hear like your thoughts there because you have been going at this like, you know, for a really long time. And I'm sure like what you've just shared, honestly, in this podcast, I think will go a very long way to helping people like kind of avoid some of the same mistakes that we made.
Oh, for sure.
And whatnot. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know, just before we wrap up, like kind of what's next for Llama? I think we talked a bit about this, like going forward variety
sure,
and whatnot.
That's okay.
What's your hopes for, you know, the next 1 year as a content creator, you know, on trail, all that.
Right. Well, in the short term, I would like to finish up Rebirth, which is probably gonna take weeks. I would like to try Dragon's Dogma 2. That looks really cool.
Right.
Now I like Pal World. I actually have my own server, my community server, and there's gonna be some updates for that. I still think that's gonna be a very big game. I played it in alpha.
Yeah.
And that was just early access. That was alpha and early access. I'm like, damn, this could really take off. And it had crazy popularity and it was so much fun. And I would like to do some more of that. And hey, maybe even chuck some guides out for Power World and just test my chops in other games. And it's like, hey, well, here's how to start a base or how to capture certain enemies or how to do a raid in Power World or whatever. And then, of course, leading up to Dawn Trail, I have to finish the MSQ of Endwalker. I haven't touched it in like 6 months now. So I think saving all of that like content leading up to Dawn Trail, like I might start like a week before Dawn Trail. Where I wrap up the story, kind of like get used to everything. I was like, all right, let's get some tie up some loose ends. And then do Dawn Trail stuff. And then shoot, I think War Within is out.
Yeah,
that
I
time
think it's
too,
August
right?
actually. My guess is it comes after
it's
going
to be close. So we're going to have,
it's
I might
July,
have to juggle.
Yeah. And then I think
we
July,
don't know.
Dawn Trail, my guess. That's my guess.
It's going to be pretty close to each other. But when the raid tier drops, I have to figure out what I'm going to do there, because I'm not going to do week one anymore. That's out of the window. I made a decision after my medical situation to not do week one. I just can't commit to the 16 hours. I can't. But then I can still do the shoutcasting with Frosty and the gang if they still have me, which I hope they do. So I would love to do casting. I'll love to do casting for WoW. I know Echo does. They usually have me on board, and I've been so grateful meeting all the folks from Echo whenever they do Final Fantasy stuff. That was so cool meeting them, and I would love to do if they decide doing more racing. I'd love to cast for them some more, and yeah, getting to maybe some WoW, some War Within as well, and just try to pump out some content. And oh, and then of course I have some friends that they've already nabbed me for the next Ultimate. They asked me a couple like a month or a couple of weeks ago, or actually maybe a couple of months ago. They're like Lam, I want you on our raid team for the new Ultimate. I'm like, okay. So I'm kind of figuring out what I have to do for the Savage tier, because I will need to get best in slot before the Ultimate. So I can't be super casual with it. I actually gonna have to try somewhat hard to get the tier done and get geared up. So I'll see if there's like some streamers or some raiders that don't necessarily want to do week one, that are happy with like a week four or three or four or whatever it is. I don't know. If I clear by this between 2 and 4 weeks, that's still very good. But yeah, I'm not doing week one. Like I'm fine with like seeing what strats are out. But yeah, well, I'll find a group, I'll do the Ultimate, and then probably scale back how much I play 14 and give myself time for WoW, and then other games I want to try.
Amazing.
And of course, try to stick to a good schedule of producing YouTube content. I would love to get at least for now, one long form video, like every other week, or maybe at least once a week if I'm being super ambitious, and then several shorts throughout the week. And you, with editing, it just you gotta set aside time for it.
And you'll get faster.
I've gotten faster though. I've gotten faster with my shorts. Yeah.
You get way better at it, and you have work processors, you know the flow, and you just get
With my shorts, I can crank out a short like within an hour. It used to take me like 5 or 6 hours, but now that I have like a little template,
amazing,
and I have my my libraries and presets, I'm like, okay, all right, let's get the captions, and here's my sound library, and like I just start. Yeah, all I have to do is just like make certain cuts.
Yeah,
it's so much faster. But now it's like doing the longer videos, I'm like, oh, okay, this is taking ages.
I'm looking forward to your video though, on what you expect of Dawn Trail. I think that'll be an amazing watch.
It's different, because with a short, it's like I'm just taken from a stream, and I have what I say, here's the content. But now it's like, well, I have my voiceover, but now I have to have footage that's relevant to that, and I can't just like have a stream like a full, like it's got to make sense, like it's got to match what I'm saying, and then if it's not completely matching, or if it's not doing a good job of communicating that, like I have to have graphics and like diagrams or whatever else. So I'm like, ooh, like okay,
it's a different ball game for sure. But again, like I think you'll get only better, you'll get faster at it. And it's a nice segue, because like how do people kind of follow you on YouTube? Like, what's your handle? Is it the same? Yeah, like whether you give a shout out for yourself.
It's actually on YouTube. It's actually Lamatod TV. Someone had Lamatod.
I'm surprised someone has Lamatod. Okay,
someone had Lamatod. Yeah, it's like an old account.
What a troll. That probably has. Okay,
I know. Well, no, it's whatever. But
okay.
Yeah, there's a few instances where I had to use Lamatod TV. I think like TikTok and YouTube, I had to use Lamatod TV, but elsewhere I'm just Lamatod.
Cool. We'll definitely link all your socials in the description and the pinned comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
But any last shout outs here, Lama, like, you know, to your community, like any last shout outs here?
Oh, well, I mean, a big one to my boss, to my wife, Mrs. Lama, who's been super supportive, and she's actually started streaming as well.
Oh, great!
And she's actually doing the MSQ of Final Fantasy 14.
There we go. Yeah, that's the reason to watch right there.
So I'm able to kind of guide her, like, oh, hey, listen, let's start making clips and let's start making reactions. They're gonna love that. Like, you know, first time reaction to, you know, the Praetorium or something. Like, they don't want to see that. Like
100%. Oh yeah. Man, she's getting so much mileage out of your experience.
Oh yeah, she is, and she's hilarious too. So I'm proud to see her have fun with
and
it.
Where do we follow her? Like, what's her handle?
It's Aw Shrimp and Grits.
I will also post it in the comments.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. That'll make her so happy. But she's also been playing variety too. Like, just, I mean, she'll take breaks and play other games, but she'll stick to Final Fantasy mainly.
Dude, but I she's not afraid to see, do like other a things. Husband wife collab channel in the future for you. Like, it's such a unique angle, dude. I think there's some mix there. You can
that's
going
to be a challenge with the Final Fantasy stuff, because she's using my account. So I'm like, honey, I'm like, we're not going to be able to read together unless like you re-level. Like, one of us has to re-level on a different account.
Yeah,
like,
so. Yep, fair enough.
But who knows? Maybe we'll get her to play with some other folks or something. But I would, yeah, maybe we'll play something together, I'm sure.
Cool.
In the future. But definitely to my community, that has stuck with me for my variety arc, and definitely for those that are eagerly awaiting me to come back to Dawn Trail. I can't wait to see everyone there again too. And there's it's okay if you didn't stop by or anything. Like, please, I just, we'll be there, we'll be raiding, doing some more coaching parties, and you name it, all
back
the
to
good
the
stuff
old days.
But
yep,
back to the old days, but keeping time for mm-hmm. YouTube and variety though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna have that balance. Mm-hmm.
Great. Look, thanks so much, Llama. I know it's getting late for you, and I just want to say, you know, you're one of the nice, honestly, one of the nicest, most genuine people I've spoke to in the community for 14.
Oh, thanks, man.
And yeah, thanks for taking the time. I'm sure this will not be the first conversation we have on the podcast. Like, down the line, I'm sure
more.
We'll speak again. And yeah, it's always great to just get your thoughts and whatnot, and you know, it's been great. I'm sure everyone kind of agrees. Like, you have some really great insights on where the game is
man.
Going and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad that you had me here, and it's always great catching your content too, and you're definitely an inspiration too. I hope to get, you know, 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, and so I look up to you and with what you do, and
too
it's
kind.
You know, you're definitely a professional, man.
And
so,
we'll definitely speak offline, because like, I have so much ideas about how you can grow a YouTube channel. Like, I would love to just kind of tell you,
okay.
Like, yeah, for sure, like. Yes. You helped Please. Me when I came to 14. I would love to return a favor, and we'll definitely speak offline, because I've like lots of ideas about your channel and whatnot.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And yeah, thank you so much. And we'll have you
Thanks.
Back again, I'm very sure. All right. Thanks, Llama.
Looking forward to it.
See
thank you.
You.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. All right. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Llama Todd, one of the best 14 coaches out there. Speaking about enjoyment, know that all our Patreon subscribers get to enjoy the ads-free, unfiltered, unedited version of this podcast episode. And you can support this podcast via Patreon. Link is in the description. Speaking about Patreon subscribers, a big thank you to all the patrons that you see on screen here. Thank you for making this podcast possible. If you're looking for another 14 episode, make sure to check out the episode with Mr. Happy. We take a trip down memory lane. We discuss how Final Fantasy 14 evolved over the decades. See you in the episode. Subscribe if you'd like to see more content.